I am very, very happy to be here. Really happy to see a lot of our young people. I have four children, all girls, very beautiful, very tall. The 24, 21, 15, and 13. And so really great to be here with you. I'm very thankful to God and thankful to Pastor Chung that you know, I came to know Christ in 1983. By the grace of God, I really came to know Christ. But going way back, I was born in Korea. And we have, seven siblings, and, you know, parents and seven siblings, and we were all Buddhist. Two or three times a year, I would go to temple with my mom, carrying a bag of rice. These days, I'm pretty sure they would give cash, but those days, we gave rice. And then when I enter into a temple, there are three huge Buddha statues, and I'll just bow down. Following monk, I just bowed down thousands and thousands of times. I was praying, but I did not know what I was praying to. Praying what? That was my religious devotion, and so was our family members. But things were very, very difficult. These days, I realize that the common people, I realize that they are getting poorer and poorer. The reason is because of Amazon. They are getting richer and richer, and all the, for instance, I love playing tennis. I used to get shoes and strings and all those things are from that small shop. But now, Amazon's getting all those things. They're getting poorer and poorer. Likewise, my family experienced similar things. We used to have a huge orchard, and we used to be quite wealthy. But then they developed a new product, Fuji apple. The old traditional apples, we used to have them, and then when Fuji apple came, basically it decimated all the things we were doing. So it's like similar, very similar things what Apple's doing right, Amazon's doing right now. So we became very poor all of a sudden. And so my sister, who was here, she invited us to come. So our family came in 1979. So it is very interesting, I have four daughters, and we provide everything for them. But when I was growing up, I didn't know such a thing. My parents, they only provided the shelter. That was it. So since the time that I came, I worked. I supported myself during high school years and also college as well. I didn't pay for tuition, right? That's how I went through college and whatnot. But when I went to college, I struggled so much with my life. I didn't know who I was. I did not know where I came from. I did not know the purpose of my life. I did not know what would happen to me if I die. Though I was religious in Korea, my Buddhist background, it could not help me at all. So I was struggling freshman year. I was very depressed. I was so depressed. I don't know, these days when people are depressed, maybe they drink a lot, or maybe they try drugs. Or, they do all kinds of stuff. But I didn't know none of those. But the one thing that I had to cope with depression, only one thing that I knew was I just wanted to forget everything. So I began to sleep. And I sleep 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. The happiest moment of my life is when I'm about to sleep, then I would forget everything. But when I wake up, that's the most miserable time. Now I remember everything. And also I wake up with such a headache. So, you know, Tylenols and Advils, and I take those, and, you know, I repeated that many, many weeks and months. I repeated that. I was always lonely, and I was a loner. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time making friends. So when I go to in a cafeteria, I always carry a book with me, pretending that I'm studying, but I have no friends. I carry books so that the people think that I'm studying. I don't know about you, but that's how I was. I was so depressed with life. But one day, a friend of mine, he asked me, "Hey, what are you doing Tuesday night?" Nothing. "Hey, let's go to Bible study." So I with him, I went to Bible study, and there were about 50, 60 college students. You know, you can imagine my face. I was so depressed. No smile at all. But when I saw 50, 60 people, just like here, you know, they were praising and singing, and I see their faces. Wow. They were just smiling. They seemed so happy with their life. So I go, what do they have that I don't have? How come they're smiling? How come they are happy? How come I'm not happy? So I wanted to find out. And they were studying Bible. They all had the Bible, and they were studying Bible. And so maybe answer is in this book. So I got a copy of the Bible, and I begin to read. Forget about going to schools. Forget about going to, you know, classes. You know, I need to find something. I just need to find something. So I begin to read. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I never heard such thing. When I was growing up as a Buddhist, I never heard somebody made something. But when I begin to read, one thing was so clear. The reason there are stars and all these things, trees and earth, all these things is because there's God who created all these things. And I begin to read and read and read, and then realize that the reason that we do not know God is because of sin we have committed against God. So I begin, you know, keep reading the Old Testament, reading through the Old Testament. By the time that I finished the Old Testament and went to the New Testament, now I talk about Jesus Christ, the reason that he came to die for us, for my sin. Now, as I was finishing reading the Bible, and I almost, you know, finished the first year, it began to make a lot of sense. Things I did not know. Where I came from. Things I did not know. What am I supposed to do in this life? What would happen to me if I die? Those things in the Bible begin to explain very, very clearly. So, you know, at the end of my freshman year, everything now made sense. There's God. He made all things, and he made me. And there's God who loves me and cared enough about me and for me that he sent his son and died on the cross for me. And if I receive him, I will receive forgiveness, full forgiveness. Everything made sense. Everything made sense. So at the end of my freshman year, I gave my life to Christ. And from that point on, my life radically changed. I was so hopeless. But now, with Christ, my life, I am full of hope. I was so miserable. Every day, my only joy was when I was about to fall asleep. That was my only joy. But when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, every waking moment is my joy. I mean, this Christ changed my life. I don't know about you. It looks like the few guys that I met, you guys look super, super smart. Is that true? Huh? You guys look super smart. Those days, because I struggled with my life, you know, when I went to college, a dean sent me a letter saying that since you're not getting passing grade, You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure you guys do not know what that means. You guys all getting A's and B's. I was getting one F and one D plus, one C minus. I was taking only three classes. So the school warned me, you know, if you don't improve your grade, then you're out. That's how bad it was. But when I came to know Jesus Christ, now I had reasons. I had reasons to study. There is a reason that I have to study. It was nobody pressuring me, but now it's God. I am answerable to God. So from miserably failing student, now because God is watching me, that I study because I want to please him, now I'm becoming a Dean's Honor student. Huh? Why? Because Christ changed me. Christ completely changed me. So, you know, so end of my freshman year, I asked the Lord, Lord, now you saved me. What should I do with my life? Because you radically changed my life, what should I do? You know, so I was praying, and the Lord answered me saying, you know, that if that's what you really like, you know, only option that I have is that I want to become pastor. I want to become pastor, and I want to tell people what Christ has done for me, what Jesus Christ has done for me personally. So since then, end of my freshman year, I committed my life to become full-time pastor. You know, God really gave me desire to share our Lord Jesus Christ to all that I meet. You know, I don't know about you guys. I came from a family where my grandparents and my parents, especially my dad, they all became alcoholic. They just drank too much. So I determined to quit when I was quit drinking when I was fourth grade, because I saw their life. Not because I was a Christian, because I saw how their lives are ruined. So young age, I said, I'm not going to drink this anymore. But then, I don't know about your church, but and my church, we use real wine, real kosher wine for communion. So, you know, I drink every month, you know, I would drink it, right? And it tastes really, really good. And wine, I realize, older it gets, tastes better, and more expensive it becomes. That's how I feel about Jesus Christ. You can imagine that how excited I was in 1983 when I came to know Christ. And now is 2018. The Jesus that I knew back then and Jesus that I know now. Jesus that I know now is about a million times better than when I first came to know Christ, because I have more understanding of Christ. I am so thankful. Older I get, I love Jesus more, far more, because I know who he is. So today, because of time limitation, let me talk about just the one reason why we need to share Jesus. One reason. My favorite passage is from Luke, which I'm pretty sure all of you know very, very well. The heart of God. We need to understand, when we come to know Christ, we need to understand the heart of God. I think Luke 15 explains the best out of thousands of chapters in the scripture. Luke 15 explains the best where the heart of God is. In that chapter, you know, the three parables, the shepherd lost a sheep, and then a woman lost her coin, and the father lost a son. I'm pretty sure all of you know this parable very, very well. It is written in your heart, isn't it? In the Bible, if it is something that so important, life and death important, that every human being needs to know, then it is written in scripture. But if a scripture, in those days, you know very well that I spend hours and hours of researching, you know, other religions and whatnot. So I watch YouTube constantly. I watch YouTube. And so if I did not understand, or if I want to listen to it again, then you go back, simply you go back and listen to it again. You listen to it again, you know, again and again, right? When the scripture was written, there was no YouTube. So if it is very important, then you would write in scripture. But if it is super important, then you write twice. Such was the story of the Passover. Passover story, which is most important story in the Old Testament, it was written before that actually happened. It was written even after. So twice is telling. Why? Because this story, God's people should not forget. Now, in the Bible, if it is something super, super important, it tells three times. Three times. Now, in the parable, the story of the parable Jesus gave, is telling the story three times. But actually, it's the same story. The same story telling three times. In other words, this such an important story Jesus is telling, you may forget other things, but this one thing you must not forget. So long as you're Christian, so long as you believe in Jesus Christ, this one story you must not forget. So now he gives us three stories, three parables. Now there's a shepherd, he lost a sheep, which he just loved to death, this sheep. So what does he do? And he goes around and round and round, and all the path that he went, and you know, he walked through the river, and he walked everywhere. He walks through everywhere, and already it becomes so dark. Finally, he noticed there's a sheep, and he found it, and he was incredibly happy. He was so joyful because the lost sheep was found. What does he do? Then, you know, you can see that, wow, you know, walking, shepherd, you know, walking back home, and he's so happy. What does he do? Because he cannot contain the joy, and joy was just overwhelming, that he calls every neighbor, hey, come, let us celebrate. You can see he was happy, and all the neighbors, they were also happy with him, right? The scripture says, the passage that we read, Luke 15, verse 7 says, likewise, when one sinner comes to know God, likewise, there is incredible joy of celebration. Our God in heaven, he rejoices when one soul comes to know Christ, one soul comes to know Jesus Christ. There's an incredible joy in heaven. Now, Jesus does not stop there, right? He gives a second parable. There's a woman, she lost a coin. Now, in our days, when we think about a coin, we may say quarter, a dime, or nickel. You know, the parable is a progression, so it cannot be those kind of things. Here is a sheep. Something, next step is something very, very, a lot more important than sheep. And the son is far more important than the middle one. So it cannot be just nickels and dimes and things like that. Scholars say it must be in those days when they get married. And nowadays, when young people get married, you give a diamond ring or a gold ring and such thing. Those days, the Jews, they had 10 silver coins as a wedding gift. So she had 10 silver coins as a wedding gift, but she lost one. I mean, her heart just sank. This is not just a coin, this is a wedding gift that I brought. Where did it go? I mean, this woman went crazy and looking for every pocket there is, every drawer there is, and every possible place. You know, a very similar thing happened to my wife. We live in Cerritos, and we moved to another house, and as we were unpacking everything, somehow we misplaced the box that has wedding ring. I mean, and she's been, I don't really care. Don't tell my wife. I don't really care whether those things, I don't consider that very important. But it is important to my wife. So she's been looking for it. She's been looking for it every place. Where's the box? Where's the box? All night long, she's been looking and looking and looking. You know, I go to morning prayer meetings. I usually get up around 4:30, 4:15 and whatnot. And she's been looking all night long. And then I just, you know, fell asleep, and in the middle of the night, you know, I found it! And she was just, you can see, even that late, such a joy that she had. I found it. Likewise, this woman who lost her coin, and she was so overwhelmed with the joy. Then she goes around saying, hey, I found this coin. And she gathers all the neighbors and begins to celebrate. What does the scripture say? Likewise. Likewise, when one soul comes to know Christ, there's a huge celebration in heaven. Now, this explains what pleases our Father in heaven. Story does not finish there, right? Story does not end there. Now, Jesus gives one more story. He says there was a man, and he had two sons. One younger son, you know, he asking his father, give me my share of inheritance. Give me my share of inheritance. Give me my day after day, give me my share of inheritance. You know, you don't usually ask for inheritance until parents is about to die. I mean, that's when you ask. But then, you know, this younger son was very, very wicked. Give me my share of inheritance. Give me my share of inheritance. Finally, father gave up and said, okay, I'll give you your share. So with so much money he left, free money is very easy to spend. So he went far distance where no one would recognize him. Now he began to have, day after day, began to party. You know, when you have a party like that, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, when you have a lot of money, people will come. When the money runs out, no one's there with you. So he lost all his friends. Now, in fact, he became so poor. He had absolutely nothing. Now, when he became so poor and had absolutely nothing, he was getting so hungry. Now, he began to pig's pen and began to share food with the pig. I mean, that's how desperate he became. As he was struggling with life, it dawned on him, back when he was with his father, there was never a day when he was hungry. He always had enough. And there was a lot of happiness in home. It dawned on him. Well, might as well go back to my father and say, can you hire me as a servant? So he decided to go back. You know, but those days which that son left, father was restless. Every single day waiting for the son. Every single day worried about the son. Every single day cannot sleep. When is my son coming back? When is my son coming back? So as soon as the son comes out, he will go out. He will go out and see, is my son coming today? Is my son coming today? Every single day, is my son coming today? Is my son coming today? And now, finally, when he went out, there was a beggar coming. And everybody would forget about him. But when father looked at the beggar, he immediately recognized that was his son. So what does he do? He began to run. After his son. He began to run. You can see, you can imagine. Such a joy. You can also imagine the father weeping. Father weeping. My son is coming. He runs. runs, runs. Now his son, seeing the father, he too weeps. And then when they meet each other, they hug, they kiss. Son, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you came back. I'm so glad you came back. And son repents. Father, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. So father had the great joy and bring all town people. Let us celebrate. Let us celebrate. His son was lost, now he came back. You know what? In the Bible, the father is talking about God. In the Bible, there is only one place where God ran. Not just running, weeping. Joy. But in that parable, it is very ironic. There was a man who never left the father's household. Whole town rejoices, except one man who's been so close with the father, and his older brother is very mad. He's very mad. It's so ironic. We can have churches like that too. Pastor mentions about God's heart. We need to win souls. And there are some people who get actually mad. Why you always talk about evangelism? It is my prayer for you that none here are like older brothers. Raise your hand if you're older brother. Hey, Pastor, why are you always talking about evangelism? Why? We have thousands of people over here, you know. We need to reach out. Why we do it? Because that's the heart of God. We as a Christian, what should we do? How should we live? When we become Christian, we're crucified with Christ. Our old self is crucified. When we become Christian, it is not about me. That me is crucified with Christ. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. So as we become mature and mature, we want to do what pleases God, not what pleases me. That's a mature Christian. That's true disciple, desiring to please God more than desiring to please me. Not me, but God. So it is my prayer for all of you that you who are incredibly good Christians here, that do what pleases God every single day. Having said that, let me talk about more practical things. Let me give you a little testimony about my father before I give you practical things. My family, as I said, my mother and all the other siblings, we were all Buddhists except my father. He was sort of atheist or agnostic. But when we came to the States, those days, not these days anymore, but those days, we were all poor. We were all very poor. We worked two jobs and three jobs, and that was very common in our generation. So when he came in late 50s, when he came, he and his my mother came, they began to work at the garment factory. They work, 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, and when they come home, they would bring more work. So they would work round the clock. So he worked so hard, all for us. But as he worked in a long time, he realized that his boss happened to be pastor. His boss somehow having very difficult time with business. And because of such a difficulty with his business, he said he reported, paying tax to government, Later, you realize that he didn't pay. So my father, when he found out, he became extremely angry. I mean, he did not like Christians before. Now, not just a Christian, but his boss, pastor, cheated on him. My father became extremely angry against Christians. But when I became Christian, you know, I became Christian. I cared so much about my father's salvation. So I used to live you know, on campus, and so weekends I would come home. There were so many days, so many weeks, because I had so much pain for my father. I would just weep and weep and weep. I just weep. I could not control it. And because of tears coming down, I could not drive. I had to park and weep for a while. And then, you know, when I'm done with the weeping, I would go home. So many occasions I tried to share the gospel with my father. But because of a hurt, he would reject it. I just said, and then he would get so mad. Son, stop it! How many times can you share? He would just get so angry. So I come home, and then one day he said, son, now you go to college, what are you going to do with your life? So I had to tell him, Father, not only I became Christian, I want to become pastor. What? You want to become pastor? And then he told me, pastors are thieves. Why you want to become pastor? Why can't you get a regular job and work and don't steal money? I had nothing to say. So this went on for a long time, very long time. I cannot say anything about Jesus. His mind is already set. So I pray for him again and again. Year after year I pray. I just weep and pray and weep and pray. Now, when he was 74 years old, he had a cancer. He got colon cancer. Doctor told him that he has approximately about 5-6 months to live. If you do not have surgery, you'll have 5-6 months. If you do have surgery, I cannot guarantee you. So he was very worried. So it was then, we sort of sensed that, you know, God is working in his life. And so my wife and I, from very beginning of his surgery until he was fully recovered, we gave our 110% to him, especially my wife. She did everything. We have siblings, but my wife alone, she did everything because she was a Christian. So he, surgery was very well and done very well, and he fully recovered. And so he would say to my wife, he would say, the life that I live now is because of you. He would say often, it is because of you I'm living the second life. He was getting older, so I could not help. You know, I need to share the gospel. I know in the past he rejected Jesus. I know he said hard things against Jesus. So I was really struggling what to do. So one day I said, you know, my wife is getting old. My father's getting older. I grabbed my wife's hands and said, let's go. It doesn't matter what he says, let's go. Went into his apartment and he was alone. And so we sat. He was sitting across the table, and I looked straight at him. Father, I'm your son, am I not? And that's a very strange question, huh? I'm your son, right? Yes, you're my son. Father, will I lie? Father, will I lie to you? No, you will not lie to me. Father, I believe about Jesus Christ. Why would I lie that it's not real? This is what I believe about Jesus Christ. Let me explain to you. So I begin to explain. You know, there's God, because of God, the whole world exists. It is God who made you, it is God who made me. The reason that we don't know God is because of sin in our hearts. Yes, sin separates us between you and God. And because of that, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. You need to repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I looked at him again and I said, Father, this is what I believe. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins will be forgiven and you will have eternal life. So I said, and I asked, Father, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All these years, whenever I mentioned about Jesus Christ, he would get so angry and mad. But he stayed very calm. And there was silence. Silence. It seems like eternity to me. There was silence. And then he opened his eyes and he was looking at me and said, Son, yes, I like to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at that moment, I was just weeping. I just wept. I've been praying for him about 13 years. All those years, I felt like this is like a wall. Nothing going to happen. But it says, yes, I like to believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So as I was weeping, and my wife was also weeping, we hold his hand. Father, repeat after me. So we pray the sinner's prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. So he came to know Christ, and next 5 years he attended my church. And when he was 80, he passed away. I was so sad that I lost my dad. After burial, I could not help. I was so sad. But then verse came to me, John 14. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Not let your heart be troubled. And then, I don't know what that was. It's like sort of like vision. I saw my dad rejoicing before Jesus Christ. And I was so happy. Since then, I was so happy. No more sadness, no more sorrow, knowing where my Father is. Maybe some of your parents or siblings and whatnot may not know Christ. But do not give up. Do not give up. Keep on praying. May God will answer. One day, may God will answer you. And one day, the joy that I have of knowing my parents come to know Christ, maybe you will share the same joy. Here's my point. Every time I talk about my father receiving the Lord, I cannot help. But I so clearly remember, like Kodak moment pictures. I remember in details. My heart is overwhelmed. But I wonder, how about our Father in heaven? Even human being, when a soul comes to know Christ, even that was so many years ago, I still weep of joy, not of sadness. But what about our Father in heaven? When one soul comes to know Christ, there's incredible joy. The reason I am so motivated to the evangelism is because of that. I see my Father in heaven He rejoices. He rejoices. Nothing brings greater joy than a sinner coming to know Christ. That's why I wanted the evangelism, because of joy that I share with my Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. So it is my prayer for you that that you'll be motivated to share the gospel. There's no hope in this world. And, you know, as I was having lunch with your pastor, there are a lot of things in common. One thing was, we are same age. Only a few days apart, yeah? Same age, exactly the same. This is what I realized, that, you know, I'm now approaching 60s. I feel like those years, 40, 50 years, it's like 5 seconds passed. In my heart, I still feel like I'm a college student. But my first daughter, she graduated from college 2 years ago. But my heart, I feel like I'm still young. You know what I mean? Time passes by just like that. My brothers and sisters, how should we live our lives? Knowing that there's God, knowing that there's eternal life, how should you live your life? What should you do? I've been to lots of funeral services, some millionaire funeral services, some very poor. But when everything's said and done, they die and they are buried about the same way. Nothing remains. There are three things that remain. There are three things that are eternal. One, God, the Word of God, souls. So if you invest your life in these three, then you are going the right direction. You're going the right direction. Do it for a long time, that our Father in heaven will be pleased. Invest your life in eternal things, not on temporary things. Okay? So, I can go on like this for about two more hours, but I'm sorry, I don't have that much time. I'm surprised that none of you are falling asleep, so I must be doing something right. Okay? I know that we have a discussion this afternoon, and so if you want to know more how to do evangelism, we'll talk more. But because of time limitation, let me give you 6 steps of evangelism, 6 things. I know wherever I go, about twice a month, I go to different cities, different states, and give the evangelism seminar. People are so smart, I realize. I'm going to talk about 6 things. I bet even before I finish, you memorize them all. There's no reason for you to write it down. You'll know it by heart. You'll never forget. The first step is this. You need to have a heart. Remember the message that I gave you today? You need to have a heart of bringing people to the Lord. Heart. Everything begins at heart. Evangelism begins in your heart. You need to have a heart. Second step is this. Once you have a heart, once God gives you a heart of saving souls, then you need to find the lost, seek the lost. So first step is having the heart. Second, seeking the lost. Third, so Everywhere you go, you seek the lost. Every person you meet, it's like, is this person know Jesus Christ or not? So every person you meet, you seek the lost, right? Third step is this. Once God gives you 5 people, 10 people, 20, 100, 1,000 people, once God gives you so many, as you seek the lost, every single day, now you become their pastor. You are their pastor. Shepherd, every day, shepherd calls each sheep's name. You're calling each one by name and begin to pray. Begin to pray, right? Why do we pray? Because when we pray, God does incredible things. God changes the hearts. We don't change hearts. We are only planting seeds. We don't change hearts. We don't convert people. It is the Holy Spirit, right? So that's, how many? What's step number one? Having the heart. Second, seek the lost. Third, begin to pray for them. And fourth, build a relationship. Build a relationship, right? Of the people that you get to know, you begin to build a relationship, right? Well, once you build a relationship and you sort of like here and there, you see where that person's heart is. That person ready to hear the gospel, right? And then when the person is ready to hear the gospel, you sense it, and then you share the gospel. That's five. Last, and you encourage them to come to church, right? So those are six, right? You got it? You got it? What's number one? Heart. Well, number one is heart, right? Two, seek the lost. Three, pray for those who God gives to you, right? Four, yeah, and build a relationship. You begin to build a relationship with them, right? Intentionally build a relationship. Five, yeah, when you sense that person is ready to hear the gospel, then you share the gospel, right? Number six, and you bring them to church or near the church where he lives, right? Now, Pastor, how much time do I have? 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'll finish. Okay, so the first step is you need to have a heart, right? But how can you have a heart? How can you have a heart? Best thing is this. You need to ask the Lord to give you a heart. Day and night. Is this that important in your life? If this is that important in your life, you won't have a heart. So day and night you cry out, Lord, I want to have that kind of a heart. God has given me that kind of a heart. Desiring to win souls for Christ. I normally wake up around 4:35. From then until I sleep around 10:30, 11, 11:30. All those waking hours, I think about souls. Why? I never get tired. Let me tell you something. For me, evangelism is most fun. It is really fun. I never get tired because I know what pleases God. I never get tired of pleasing God, right? Why? He has given me heart, right? Can you imagine Jesus getting tired of souls? Day after day, all these guys, why are they coming to me? I'm tired of you. Give me a break. He doesn't have that kind of heart, right? He never gets tired of souls. Why? He has a heart of God. Number two, seek the lost. You know, everywhere I go, I have only one question. Everywhere I go, whoever I meet, I have only one question. Does this person have Jesus or not? I don't care if a person graduated from Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford. I don't care. I don't care the person is black or white or Hispanics. I don't care. I don't think God cares either. Right? I don't care that person's a woman or children. Doesn't matter. Right? To me, there's only one thing matters. Does this person know Jesus Christ? Only one thing matters. So whoever I meet, that's the only question that I have. I want to find out. Here I can give you so many examples, but let me just give you one of my favorite. You know, my wife owns college prep prep a business, right? Business for preparing college students for college. So we have a lot of foreign people coming to the business. So I go to LAX very often. So I've been there thousands of times. One day, we were dropping off a guest that visited us. And my wife and I would drop him off. And we were exiting. As I was exiting, I see police motorcycle following me, you know? I've been here 1,000 times. I know. Why would he follow me? Maybe somebody else. So I was keep going. I was maybe somebody else. I was keep going, but this guy's keep following me. So I finally stopped, and then he came and says, "I have driver's license, please." Oh, and then I finally realized it's me. What did I do wrong? So he took my driver's license. As he was taking my driver's license, guess what? What do I want to know? You want to know my information, policeman, but I want to know whether you know Jesus Christ or not. So I was praying for him. And he came back, said, "Sir, you know, all these papers, you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you?" He said, "Sir, I cannot talk about that while I'm working." All right. So I have an evangelism card. So I hand it, says, "Are you saved?" "Sir, I cannot talk about that." And then he left. But you know what? Every person that I meet, I believe I meet by God's providence. So I'm ready to share the gospel wherever I go, whoever I meet. Okay? Seeking the lost, right? And then I pray. After that, I pray. I begin to pray for hundreds of people, right? Pray, 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 pray. And God does wonders when you pray. What happens is, when you do not pray, you do not know how God is working. But when you pray, you see what God is doing. You just need to work with God. You see how God is working, right, when you pray, right? And then after that, build a relationship with those people you've been praying. You've been praying, praying. And let them know, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Let them know you're praying, right? You're praying, right? Yeah. And then you build a relationship. Whether if you play golf, build a relationship with golf. I play tennis. I build relationships with tennis. I have widows in my neighborhood. I, you know, clean everything for them as I build a relationship with them. And so intentionally I build relationships so that I'll get to know them. And I do it long time, not just once or twice. "And that person's not receiving the Lord, forget about this." No, I do it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, long time. So when you do it like for a few times, they say, "Hey, maybe he's not real." But if you do it 5 years, 10 years, they know you are true. They know you are sincere, right? So then their heart, they begin to open when you do it a long time, right? Yeah, and then when you know, wow, the person's heart is ready to hear the gospel, you share the gospel, and then encourage them to attend church. Let us pray.